You're listening to Dynamo's Dozen. Now let's welcome your host, Dean Dynamo Kelly.
The Dynamo's Dozen podcast that I bring you each and every single week, where I talk about whatever may be on my mind, from pro wrestling, sports, entertainment, music, movies, muesli, fresh socks and jocks, and everything in between, never forgetting the talc. And today it is part two of Dynamo Seeks Bigfoot, and I am joined by none other than the great Todd Stanning. For anybody who doesn't know who Todd Stanning is, you may remember a documentary a couple of years back on Netflix, which basically took Netflix by storm. It was called Discovering Bigfoot. Todd has also been on numerous shows on Discovery and all across the board, which he will talk about today. But first and foremost, welcome to the show, Todd.
Yes, thank you for having me. I love Ireland.
Absolutely. It's a pleasure to have you, my friend. Unfortunately, there's probably not enough land over here for any Bigfoots, but you know, every time I go by woods, I try and find it. So, but
right. Hey, good luck.
if I keep growing this shit, I'll probably end up being like a baby one. So I gotta sort my shit out.
You know, there's no Bigfoot there because there's no history of it in your own culture. So that's why, you know, I went to Sweden and they have tremendous, they have wolves and moose, really good wilderness. They asked me about Bigfoot. I go, did the Vikings talk about it? If the Vikings didn't see it, then they're not there. You come here to North America and the indigenous people that are all here all know about it. So it's all in the history. Back in the days, you know, the Irish people, how many thousands of years have they been there? If there's no history of it, it's not there. There's banshees. In fact, there's some Irish people that came here to Canada, and they picked a spot that the Indians called Don't Go There, and they named it something in the beginning, and they changed it to the Bugaboos. And the Bugaboos, yep, in Celtic, yeah, means big hairy creature in the wilderness, right?
Absolutely. So, my surname is Kelly. I'm a full-blown Celt, a man of pagan, nice, history, not of Catholic history. So I understand well what you're talking about. First of all, yeah, Todd, We said we'd do this in two parts. We know, yes, that you're going to do a big expedition now next week. So we'll probably revisit part two maybe in 3 or 4 weeks. But sure, for my audience that don't know you or that may have heard negative thing about your work, why don't you, the floor is yours basically. Why don't you explain a little bit of your history, how you got into searching for Bigfoot, et cetera, et cetera. And I suppose...
I've been a tracker my whole life. I've studied the wilderness my whole life. I grew up in northern Canada, and I studied biology at the University of Alberta in the province of Alberta in Canada. And I knew enough about the biology to be able to go out and say we were going to prove that there was no ecological niche for a giant primate species to exist. So even how do you disprove something exists? Well, you prove that it can't, there's no space for it in the ecology to survive. So that was my initial goal. I kept working with the native people. They all knew it was real. So I created a theory that they were all being hoaxed, and maybe there was natives that have been hoaxing this for a long time. And you know, before I knew it, I realized that I was the ignorant one and the species clearly existed. And it really, the paradigm shift just changed my life. And I'm at the point now where the discovery is so close that I feel this discovery is enormous. It's an absolutely, it's going to change the whole world. Millions of people are going to want to know about this species. They're going to want to see them interact. Like it's going to bring people back to nature, back to the wilderness. And in wilderness is the survival of our planet. In nature is the survival. And this species they're a hominid indigenous species. They're basically in the world right now. You have human beings that are the most technologically advanced species, and you have Sasquatch, which are the most wilderness advanced species. Their spirituality is wilderness. The spirituality they taught to the native people about the great spirit, that beautiful spirituality that native people of North America had, That's taught to them by Sasquatch. That's their, if you want to call it a religion, I'd call it more of a spiritual philosophy. Their connectivity to the earth is beautiful and brilliant. And we're making this, my movie is called Discovering Bigfoot. The discovery is, it's here, it's at hand. The technology is going to overwhelm them. Right now, it's just a matter of financing. If I had $2 million, which I nearly have, Discovery Channel jumps on board, or Warner Brothers, or Netflix, all these places I've been, all they have to do is go, here's the financing, go make the movie, and the discovery's done. So the technology exists, right. and it's, so it's a very exciting time knowing that, that's why I do these interviews, that's why I'm out there and I go public, is because there is no funding for this. And, you know, with that little bit of money, I mean, literally the $2 million that it would cost to make this discovery happen, the movie's going to make hundreds of millions of dollars. It'll be about the discovery of this species, and it will shake up the whole world. It'll change it in beautiful, brilliant ways. And my God, we need some changes right now. Like, we're getting so, with COVID and separation, and everybody's Black Lives Matter, or you're a Republican or you're a Democrat, and all this separation, and the Sasquatch aren't like that. They're all about the connectivity. They're about the cooperation. They don't understand the deceit and the lies that humans can portray, and that we do to each other. They're such an amazing species, and what we're gonna learn from them is that I'm passionate about this beautiful planet. And that's why I'm passionate about this important discovery, because it will change things and we need it so badly. And that's why all the people that I work with, all my colleagues that I work with, that are, it's immense, the list of people that work with me now. I take people up and show them a Sasquatch. The background history on me is I started with Survivor Man, best in the world. I basically sat down one day and nearly killed myself on an expedition and got footage, came back, sat down with my family. They're like, man, you can't keep killing yourself like this. Like, you almost died doing this. You have to start cooperating. So I made a list of the best in the world, three of the best in the world. Survivor Man Les Stroud, John Bernagle, PhD wilderness biologist, and Dr. Jeff Meldrum from Idaho State University. I took all three of them out, and all three of them either live interacted with the Sasquatch or I witnessed them. And I did that in a very short period of time. And now everything has just exploded for me. I've taken out now dozens of people where they've eyewitnessed a Sasquatch. That's what I do. If you watch my movie, or you talk about the critics, they're just full of crap. They make up all these preposterous things about, you know, I'm a hoaxer because my dad dated a woman who owned a fabric store. It's just stupid crap like that. But the bottom line is, I tell everybody this, like I told Survivor Man and all the PhDs I work with, don't take my word for it. Come out with me and I will show you a Sasquatch. That's what I do. That's what I did last week. That's what I did a month before. That's what I'm doing next week. I take people out and I show them. They go, oh my God, there's a Sasquatch. I go, yeah, that's what we do. So there's no more disputing it. I'm the undisputed heavyweight champion of the world when it comes to Sasquatch, because not only do I take people out and show them, but it doesn't matter who makes this discovery. My competition, as they'll call themselves, if they make the discovery, I win. If I make the discovery, I win. I cannot be beaten. The species exists. I know they exist. I've filmed them. I have DNA. I've got all the evidence necessary. I've gone to court in Canada and the United States. And yep. I've been to trials over the recognition of the species. And I will win eventually. I'll win. The evidence is overwhelming. So that's what I do. And that's what I'll continue to do. It's never going to stop until this discovery is made. And again, that's why it's so important, right? It's not some new species of gorilla or primate. This is an advanced bipedal intelligent hominid species that is, I'm telling you right now, my big concern is I'm training all these people underneath me, training them as fast as I can, because when the discovery comes, millions of people are going to want to see them, but they won't know how, because literally a civilized person is here, a good tracker, like the old good trackers are there, I'm here, the old natives are here, and the Sasquatch is here. So we have to find a way to get people that are nothing to understand how a Sasquatch exists and what their reality is and how they survive. They're literally the opposite of us. We like to walk on trails. They hate trails, like to walk in the bush. Everything that they are about wilderness is literally the opposite of us. We are on time. We have to be on schedule. They wake up and relax and get things done when they need to get done. We have all these, like a Sasquatch gets up and watches me. I've seen them, they watch me in the morning. I have to brush my teeth, comb my hair, put my glasses on, get my clothes ready, have breakfast, clean it all up. The Sasquatch is standing there and goes, I just rolled out from under a tree and I'm ready to go. Who's free, right? And who's the intelligent one? Let me tell you something. They sure hell know we exist. They've been communicating with us for 100 years. They've been trying to communicate with us. And we still don't accept the knowledge they exist. They damn well know we exist. We
That's a good segue, Todd, actually, based on my previous interview for guests that were listening. Obviously, I had the great Ron Moorhead, who obviously was the originator of the Sierra Sounds, which I've heard you speak about before. And I mean, that is clear communication, right? I mean, it's, you know, this is a long...
I think a debate thing that would be questionable would be, are those Sierra sounds done for people or are they done for Sasquatch to Sasquatch? And I'm 50-50 on that. Actually, in my heart, my instinct tells me that was Sasquatch to Sasquatch communication. But based on my experience and sounds I've heard Sasquatch make, those are authentic. I'm 99% convinced that they're authentic. And again, there's something that I do. There's an intuition that Jane Goodall and Diane Fossey never talked about that was imperative for their discovery of gorillas and chimpanzees. Imperative. And it's you move, and people must understand this, you move with your faith and your spirituality and your feeling. You get a gut, like the greatest police officers in the world, they go with their gut. It's empathic, it's psychic. And again, something rings in my heart that just chimes off that's absolutely authentic Sasquatch sounds being made. But it's not evidence. It's not good evidence. So people could have faked it. It's not going to prove they exist. The DNA will. The footage will. The fact that I take people out and show them a Sasquatch, that will prove they exist.
Yeah, one thing that I noticed as well in my kind of inexperience in getting into this kind of thing and kind of looking a little bit deeper into it is that if anybody watches Discovering Bigfoot, you'll find, Todd, you're in a situation at night where you're in the woods on not just one occasion, on a number of occasions, where it's like they seem to kind of be in packs. They're around you. And that kind of makes sense what you're talking about, that it might be Sasquatch to Sasquatch communicating, because Ron said that they always felt like that there was one behind them or one on this side or one on that side, which is kind of be a really, really fucking scary thing, because when we were watching your movie, we were like, good Lord. There was one part of, obviously, the documentary where you kind of do kind of shout at them to get away from you, because you felt, obviously, that they were probably excessively close. What was that like?
What was happening specifically was normally they push me out of their habitat. So follow me, and they'll if I go the wrong way, a boulder comes rolling down the hill or a log flies over. Don't want me to go that way, I'll go this way. So they pushed me out. On that day, they were pushing me back in. So that's why I was flipping out. I'm like, I'm not going back. You're pushing me back in your habitat. They'd never done that before. And
like
plus,
an ambush kind of thing.
They just wanted me to go back into the wilderness. And I found out later why that is. But at the time, you know, again, you have to understand, I don't eat properly for 7 days. I'm nearly starving to death. I barely drink anything. So I'm sleeping 2 hours a night while physically exhausting myself, hiking at altitudes in the mountains. So I literally will lose like 10 to 15 pounds of muscle, starving myself, busting my ass. These are all the things you have to do to get in and get footage. If you stop eating, you stop defecating. If you ever you're tracking in on the most elusive species in the world, you're find you. If you ever urinate in a, not the way I could urinate was in a creek. That way they can't find it and discover it, right? So I could drink, but I could only, you know, pee in the creek to keep my scent away, right? So there's levels of things that I had to do that created exhaustion. And I just wanted to go home. I was done. I had footage. I was happy with my success. I wanted to go home, and they were pushing me back in the bush, and I didn't want to go. So it was, I tell you, it's a lot of people think, oh, he's having a panic attack, he's freaking out. I'm just trying to get rid of them. I'm just trying to, an act. Like when I have my son, that's a bad boy. And I'm trying not to smile because he's a cute little boy, but I got to act like, oh, that's not okay. And behind his back, I'll smile, right?
Yeah.
So with them, I was just like, because I know they're not going to harm me. If they want you dead, I'll tell you, they are around you. Ron Moorhead's right. They are always around you. They're always two steps ahead of you at least. And if they want you gone, you're gone. Like there's no need to be afraid, because they are in control. They'll make you look one way and get you the other. There's multiple individuals around you at all times. And one thing that's not debatable with the Sierra sound they knew that people heard it. I promise you that. There was no, oh, people aren't around. They knew those people were there. The birds let them know. The deer let them know. The whole ecology exposed them. So they knew the people were there, and they were okay with the people having heard those sounds. But you don't, most of the time when people tell me they've seen a Sasquatch, if I get this, oh, I snuck up on a Sasquatch, I call BS right there. You don't sneak up on these individuals. You couldn't sneak up on me, and I'm nowhere near at their level. They are significantly superior to me. Trackers, ecologically, the squirrels, the birds, the martens, all the animals that will expose me long before the Sasquatch ever even need to know I'm there. So it's frightening how excellent and amazing this species is. I get a lot. There's a thing going around. It used to bother me about some people are going to try to kill them, and I was on the no kill. Now I laugh. It's like it would literally, now I know so much about the Sasquatch. If you went out to try to kill one, it would literally like be like putting a 5-year-old kid in the ring with Mike Tyson. I'm going to bet on Mike Tyson every time. There's no way in any situation a man or a group of men go out with guns and take on the species. They're going to evade you easily. Never mind if they want to come for you, you have my sympathy. These are 9-foot, 900-pound primates that move faster than anything else in the wilderness. They are around you. They'll surround you. They can throw boulders and rocks. They know the ecology. You are done in so many ways. You go up versus these guys, you're done. I try to help people and say, look, I'm going to try to save your life in case somehow you got close enough that I'm going to try to save your life, because they will kill you. You are not 5-year-old kid. You are not going to beat Mike Tyson. And in that fight, you come to take, you're taking on a family. You're going to try to shoot a Sasquatch's family. Hey, if I come into your house and I'm aggressively going to pursue your children or your family, how are you going to react? They are devoted to one another. Gorillas are, chimpanzees are. Someone comes into your home to hunt and murder you, and he's 9 feet tall. He's 900 pounds. He's one of the greatest trackers that ever lived. He knows his ecology. You throw boulders 200 yards. Go take him on. You know, it's like you're really, really, it's really incompetent. And I don't worry about that stuff anymore.
Yeah, no, that makes all the sense in the world to me. Obviously, one of the things for me on a personal level that I wanted to, because obviously the documentary's been around now, so it's not really spoilers as such. And plus, what we're talking about here, it's always well worth watching the show. We're not going to cover your whole great documentary, you know, in a podcast situation where we're talking about your experiences. However, there are three in particular. And I know you've got a lot more as well, which you have in the can. So we won't talk about that yet. We will talk about that on the next show. But on this particular documentary, you've got three. What I like to explain to people is I've showed family members and friends pictures, you know, of the three different kind of, I suppose, variants or species of Sasquatch that you found. These three in particular look quite different. And I just want you to explain a little bit, because obviously you've got names for them too, which I think is really cool. I watch your shows. The tree that you kind of, you know, a lot of people think that these are just snapshots that you've got. You're actually filming these guys or girls blinking, moving, breathing. And I mean,
mosquito coming off one.
Yeah.
Sucking blood out of him, right?
Yeah. I saw that. That was so awesome. Let's talk about the famous one first, which is the kind of big hairy guy, the really Jake. Big hairy guy. Jake. That's Jake. Well,
first, I'm gonna dispute with you. They look different. If you look at their bone structures, their eye separation, their nose, they're the same. I mean,
well, sorry, especially. No, I will apologize on that. What I mean is, to the naked eye, they will see that, because I have heard you explain that before. I was just saying it from a guest.
And Jake is a male, so he's got like a beard. He's got more facial hair. Yep. Jane is a female, and she's very young, so her facial expression is tight. She doesn't have as much facial hair. It's a very thin layer. It's not like a nice beard like Jake has.
Big brown.
and Kubota. So I named Jake and Jane.
Kubota's the scary one, right?
Kubota was named, or his name was told to me by an Irish lass who saw him. So that's an incredible, I'm assuming that's why you're talking to me and why I was interested in doing this podcast, because it's an Irish girl named Ina who was picked up by Kubota. He tried to abduct her And the bit you don't know about this then?
No.
Oh, okay. So an Irish rugby girl and her boyfriend came up to Canada, and they were playing and, you know, vacationing here. And they went on a big hike, and that hike took them at one section through my Sasquatch research area. And what happened was all the details of precisely, so this Kubota Sasquatch came out, smashed her boyfriend. Again, does like they do. Own the guy had bear spray. He owned the situation. The Sasquatch had no trouble latching on to Ina. And then he picked her up after he leveled the boyfriend. He was going back into the bush. And the big male of the group, so Kubota is like, he's not as big. He's maybe 8'4". And a normal Sasquatch like Jake or the main group, male of the group, he's over 9 feet tall, like 9'2", 9'4". And they're more muscular, same body style, but Kubota's like a runtish looking Sasquatch, and his physique is a little strange. So anyways, he latched on to Ina, picked her up the way I've seen Sasquatch pick me up. She explained it very well. And he started walking back in the wilderness, and the big male of the group came out and said, Kubota, pointed to the ground, Iha, Ina. And so he actually knew Ina's name. So the Sasquatch spoke Ina's name. They'd known her name probably by following her for days.
Sure.
And he told Kubota, put her down. And that's how she told me. And the boyfriend heard it, and she heard it too. Very loud. And he said it twice. Kubota, Iha, Ina. And it probably is some... Iha's probably down, right? And he's pointing to the ground. And Kubota did. He put her down, and then he walked off into the wilderness with that big Sasquatch, all pissed off, smashing trees. And now Ina is coming back. She's been terribly traumatized by that situation, and she's coming back to that area with me. So this girl, she's not with her. Her boyfriend wants nothing to do with this. They're not together anymore. This happened many years ago. But can you imagine? She's watching Discovering Bigfoot on Netflix, and she sees Kubota, and she just... Oh, that's the Sasquatch that grabbed me. That is exactly him. And just she showed it to her boyfriend. Anybody,
I was just going to say, for anybody that wants to know what we're talking about here, you'll see near the end of Discovering Bigfoot that there's a really kind of different looking Sasquatch. He's really kind of dark. He's kind of got really kind of almost evil fucking eyes, I suppose. You can see half of his face. Jet black. Yeah.
Well, Kubota... whenever he comes around me, he's cranky. Like, he always looks pissed off at me. He looks really mad. Whereas all the other Sasquatch, I don't feel that hostility from them. So I think it's just that he's literally the black sheep of the Sasquatch troop that I study. He's literally, when they're young, they're really black. And as they get older, they brownish up. Kubota never did. He's just jet black. His eyes are black. They don't even look like the pupils. His face is all jet black. But all you can see of Kubota is like this much. You can't see that he's got hair that kind of looks almost like wolfish, kind of messy. So it's not, he doesn't have a nice beard like Jake and the other Sasquatch that I've seen. Mm-hmm. And then his body is clearly a Sasquatch body. And I'll tell you, all three of these Sasquatch, you haven't seen their bodies like I have. Their body shape is identical. Their foot anatomy is identical. Their movements are the same. So they're clearly the same species. You could say if somebody saw my face and saw your face, you know, there's a huge difference. People say, oh, there's different, you know, maybe, I don't know. Your nose is different than mine. Your ears are different. Maybe I'm balding and you have all your hair. You look black. What if you're tanned and I'm pale, right?
Sure.
So all these things come into play, right? And we're both white people and there's a difference between us, right? So, but yeah, that was, it's amazing. Like I never actually had a name for him. I called him like the devil Sasquatch.
Yes.
And then after Ina called me and told me, and man, her accounting, where it happened, everything. I 99.9999% believe her and her story that Kubota latched on her, picked her up. And it's hard even talking to her and her family about it, because even she has, you know, she's had to go to therapy. That's being picked up by a Sasquatch and abducted like that, and watching her boyfriend just get nailed. Like Kubota just completely owned it. There was no stopping him. And she would have been abducted, taken off in the wilderness if the big male, dominant male of the troop hadn't come out, told him to put her down. And just the levels of even, how do they know her name? And the answer is they've been following her for, she was 4 days into that expedition, they've been following her for multiple days. The boyfriend called her Ina all the time, right? Hey, Ina, come over here. Hey, Ina, don't go too far. They knew her name by listening. So they were there watching. The Kubota saw her, watched her. He knew her scent. He knew her mannerisms. He knew about her athletic. He knew she was healthy and strong and beautiful. That's why Kubota wanted her. That's what happens when you come into their home. It's their home, man. And that's what happens on expedition with me. You come into their home. If you're sickly, if you're not healthy, if you've got paradigms, if you're cranky, if you're an angry person, they'll stay away from you. And she was so happy, so loving the wilderness. Just the more I talked to her, the more I realized, you know, if I was a Sasquatch, I'd want to latch on her doctor too. She's a beautiful blonde-haired Irish girl, athletic and strong. You know, most of us would want to take her away to abduct her. So why wouldn't the Sasquatch?
We're very good looking people, Todd. It's listen, Todd, what we're going to do, we're going to kind of wrap up now. We wanted to just give people a little bit of a taste. We probably get three parts out of this. If we get Ina on someday, knowing that there's a fellow Irishman as well. And of course we've spoken off camera about when we come to Calgary, we will be going out with yourself as well. So I will most certainly look forward to that when we can travel again and all that good stuff. But what I would do before we do kind of wrap up, please do kind of plug whatever you need to plug. Obviously on YouTube, you're there. You put up videos on the regular. Sylvanic Bigfoot, which is a channel that people should absolutely go like and subscribe. But I'll let you plug whatever you need to plug.
My expeditions are like sold out. I don't do TV shows like crazy. I'm on Wild TV right now. Discovery Channel's coming back. Warner Brothers wants a new deal. Netflix is going to get a show from me. So my name is Todd Standing, just like standing up. It's English. My maternal grandmother last name was Ireland. So I expect to have some Irish in me a little bit. I know she was completely Irish. Sure. I got the freckles to show it. my name is Todd. My movie is called Discovering Bigfoot. It's even on YouTube, Amazon Prime right now to watch. And it's all about educating people about this discovery. My website is discoveringbigfoot.org, and we're all just we're absolutely devoted to making this discovery happen, moving forward and breaking paradigms and making the world a better place. It's very exciting. I'm immensely passionate about this beautiful planet. I love the oceans and the mountains and the rivers and the fresh water, and I want to preserve that for our future, for our children, for the human race. So that's why we work so hard for this discovery. And so you know, do what you can to support. You know, if you love it, if you're interested in it, you know, send us an email. And otherwise, be entertained by it and know that there are people out there that are working towards this discovery, and it's going to happen. I had to give a deadline, and in my heart, next 4 years, it's just done. With the success we're garnering right now, it's just it's absolutely astonishing, and we're going to get this discovery done, and I'm extremely excited about it.
Well, I'm glad, glad to finally be on board with you as well, and be part of one of the few crazies that people might call us that is interested in this discovery as well. And Todd, I will make sure that I have all of your links in the description below as well. So don't worry about that. We'll make sure that people can find you, and we'll keep spreading the word of your great work. And listen, haters are going to hate anyway. Isn't that right, Todd? They're going to do it. People are just going to do that.
I get so much love. I don't have time for the hate. I don't even pay attention anymore.
That's
how it is.
That's exactly it. Yeah. Well, listen, Todd, it's been an absolute pleasure. This is part one. We're going to have a part two and hopefully a part three. And it's going to be great. But until next time, I've been your host, Ina Dynamo Kelly. This has been Todd Standing. And until next time, keep squatching, people.